Here in a minute here. Got to hit a couple buttons and we'll be gone. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are officially podcasting right now. All right, let's hear for podcasting. We're here at the Coffee Fix in Studio City, a very cool coffee house, and we're very happy to be here. This is called the Dan and Lance Podcast Experiment. Now, I have an issue with the name, obviously, because, well, first off, I know many of you are Story Salon people, and, you know, as Dan said, this is my home turf, so I really should introduce. This is one of the rare times in podcasting history where the immediate audience knows me better than they know Dan here, because in the world of podcasting, Mr. Class is currently number 61 on iTunes.
Wow.
Me, it's a big deal.
All hail me.
Yeah. And no, but he is a fantastic, innovative podcaster. So ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dan Class.
Thank you.
But Lance.
Some of the people in the audience don't know what a podcast is.
I know that. But I want to first get to the idea of the name.
Okay.
The Dan and Lance
Podcast Experiment. Right.
Yeah, yeah. Right. No, I'm thinking, you know, maybe we switch it around a little bit. We go Lance.
The Dan and Lance.
Wait, see, I'm thinking of it. I didn't think of it until Beverly on Wednesday night. When Beverly was talking about the show on Wednesday night, she was calling it the Lance and Dan podcast experiment. Anybody who was here,
But that's not the name.
Okay.
The name is the Dan and Lance.
No, it is. And I actually, honestly though, I think it's not a very good name. And I'm not forget who's Lance or Dan or anything like that, because I tried to pimp the name on like the Podcast Alley forum, and nobody even looked at it. Nobody, because in podcasting
What are you trying to say?
No. What I'm
saying. Your name should be first, but because my name is first, now we didn't get any action on the forum.
No. What I am actually saying, in all honesty, what I'm saying.
It should have been the Dan Class and his friend podcast experiment.
Well, you know, the truth of the matter is that would have gotten people to look at it.
The truth of the matter is he came up with the name.
That is the truth
of the situation.
That is the truth of the situation. And as you mentioned.
How dare you?
No, but I think we need to come up with something better, and I think, we may even ask the audience if they have any ideas. We are going to ask for questions from the audience later in the show, so maybe be thinking. Could be any question about any subject. We're just going to field them, and if we don't like your question, we'll just move on to the next person. We may have to repeat your question just so that the listening audience that's out there worldwide, this is going to go out to a worldwide audience, by the way. Maybe here's your question. So we may have to repeat the question. All that being said,
I love your optimism that we have to perfect the name of the show. I'm not joking.
Okay, his show is called The Bitterest Pill. My show is called Verge of the Fringe.
Right. True. Yes.
How about this?
Okay.
The Bitter Fringe.
Okay.
It's something to think about. It still has you up top.
Oh, gee, come on, man.
Okay. Anyways, Dan.
I really like that name.
It is not a bad name.
Yeah, you're good.
You're very good. Here's the truth of the matter.
Okay.
Dan is multi-talented. Anybody who's ever seen the Story Salon CD, he did the artwork for the Story Salon CD. Just multi-talented guy. He also wrote a book on podcasting. So I think that is true. The guy who writes the book on podcasting should explain to the people who are listening, and we realize that how many people? What, there's 20 some odd people here, okay, where we're going to have maybe thousands of people listening who already know about podcasting. So we're not going to go on too long about this, but in about 3 minutes, you're going to kind of give us a rundown on podcasting.
I'm going to try to do it in 3 sentences.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a short book.
Okay.
Podcasts are essentially radio shows that are on the internet that you can download into your computer or put them on your personal MP3 player or whatever. But the beauty of podcasts is that you can subscribe to them. So every time a new edition of your favorite show comes out, you click your check subscription little button there. It's just like checking your email, and they all come down into the hard drive. It kicks butt as far as anything we've ever seen as far as internet, audio, radio, whatever. Because it's all MP3s. They sound beautiful. You get them automatically. That's all I have to say. but this,
honestly,
but,
iPodcast, but I didn't understand that. So,
really?
No, seriously. But I just...
Basically, because what we're doing is recording an audio show that you
basically
guys
like
will participate
in. I call it
a
mini radio show.
Yeah.
I say like a mini radio show.
That's right.
That you do, and it's and the setup is not unlike what the people here at the audience are seeing. The people at home
that's
are not
it right
seeing
there,
this.
Sure.
But it's a computer.
Yeah.
We're plugging, you know, mics into the computer. We're recording directly into the computer. And as Dan said, because there's Wi-Fi here, there's wireless internet here, we can literally post the podcast from here tonight. You know, it's that all the pieces are that simple.
And there's a 16-year-old boy in Australia right now waiting.
Yes, there
to
is.
Hear this.
Named Willie. Willie,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Willie. I know he's a fan.
Everyone,
I know.
Can everyone
Willie,
please say
fan.
Hi, Willie?
Willie. Willie.
That was for you, baby.
Boy, you know that.
That's gonna make because he said he told me he wanted to be
day.
Here tonight.
That's
yeah.
gonna make his day.
Yeah, he's
that's
gonna
cool.
think this
that's
is
cool.
the greatest thing, and it's. Yeah.
But no, we do. We have this international audience. It's the craziest thing in the world. I mean,
yeah,
I've got
great.
This. I've got this UK audience that's just going nuts.
You are and big in the UK.
I am very big
you
in the UK.
You are really big in the UK.
I've got Liverpool. That's my Liverpool.
Seriously?
Isn't that cool, Liverpool?
Wow,
man.
Baby.
It's kind of the center. I've got my I got a guy who does all my graphics, and he's from Liverpool.
Yo,
he's just a fan
I didn't
of the
know
show.
That. I didn't know he was from Liverpool.
Jonathan K. is, well, from the Liverpool area. You know what I mean? You know.
That's close enough for me.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow.
And then I've got another guy who's going to maybe help me book some tours and stuff in Liverpool. So I've got the Liverpool thing. That may be my home base in the UK when I go.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
That's awesome.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's and all this started from this thing with Dan saying, you know, you read, what did you read an article? What? How did you, tell us a little bit how you got into podcasting.
I got an iPod for my birthday, and the first thing you do when you get an iPod.
What month is your birthday?
Why?
Just so people have a sense of when this happened.
Why?
So
okay,
people
September.
Have a sense of what.
I'm
what,
in my 40s. Okay, I just
no,
say
no, no,
it right
no,
now.
No, I'm saying month, not year, month.
Okay, so in late September, I
late
get
September,
an iPod.
Okay, late September 2004.
2004.
Podcasting is not a thing that anybody's talking about.
Right,
at this
right,
time.
Right.
You have to picture.
So
this.
You get an iPod, and these—it's like a Fabergé egg. I don't know if they make them to be put inside a pillow and just stared at. You can't actually touch any of the controls, or it breaks. So you have to get a rubber, like a kind of like a wetsuit.
Right.
Really.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
And a spotter. To follow you around wherever you go. So I was searching on the internet for these little suits, and I saw a little video thing that had a little iPod logo or whatever,
icon
and I clicked on it. And it was these two guys talking about Adam Curry. Anybody remember Adam Curry, the former MTV VJ?
MTV,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, Adam Curry had invented this great new thing called podcasting, and it's these, like, you know, independent radio shows, whatever. Well, I had to, you know, I had to check that out. You know what I mean? Any time where the man is not involved in the people's voice,
right, yeah.
So
this really is independent.
Like, there's
thing,
no middleman
because you know.
Here we are. Clear Channel is not in this laptop.
Yeah.
Right. There is no one in here. This is we talk. You guys talk to us, and then we put it on the internet, and literally thousands of people
will hear.
Will download this
you know.
In the next 24 hours.
Yeah.
We don't have to get the permission of the FCC.
No.
We don't have to get a license. We don't have to get a transmitter. We don't have
nothing.
No, nothing.
Yeah.
And so before I even tried, I was hooked.
And you remember the numbers you were talking about, I think when you even told me about it, you were saying, because he did stand-up comedy, and remember you were thinking about doing stand-up again? You were kind of thinking about really kind of attacking
it
again?
Yeah, but who wants to do that?
No, but what I'm saying is you were thinking about it. Do you remember?
I was, yeah. Well,
you were thinking about doing stand-up again. You were going through that thing and
right?
where you were telling
sure.
me about it, and I was like, you really want to hang out with those guys? And, you know.
And I said.
I mean, really. It's, I mean, that's,
sure
that's
I
the worst thing about doing stand-up comedy is the other comedians. I'm telling
yeah,
you
gotta,
I'm
they're
telling
all bitter,
you, the worst thing about comedy
bitter.
Is the other comedians.
Yeah.
So, I remember you saying to me, I can go do an open mic
right.
or whatever.
For 20.
20 some odd people.
PO'd and, comedians.
Right.
Or, you know,
or.
We have minors in the audience.
Or you could do, and I think the number you gave was like maybe 100 or 200
people.
Yeah, it
was people,
like
100
you know,
or something at
people
first. Yeah.
On the internet. And at the time, you said, hey, that sounds like a great idea. I don't have to I don't have to drive anywhere. I don't have to go anywhere. I can just put it out there on the internet,
yeah.
and it's ready
oh, yeah.
to go.
Yeah.
So,
And 100 people is no, hey, you know, that's...
Hey, I performed, and a couple people have seen me. I've literally performed for 2 people before.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Easily.
You know, and the rule, the rule as a performer, you have to perform for the people who are here, not the people who aren't.
Yeah.
Except if you're podcasting, because the people who aren't here outnumber the people who are here. So frankly, I don't feel bad, but the, you know, we're talking thousands of people. But I really do appreciate you being here. So
I finally egged you on enough.
You egged me on. Finally. You had me come on. You had
I did
to come
have
on
you come
show.
On the show.
We did.
Yep.
We did some stuff.
Yes, we concluded that Jesus would have been a podcaster.
Jesus would have been a podcaster.
Don't you think?
You know, get his message
Jesus.
Out there, unrestricted. Absolutely.
Right. Wouldn't have to put up with anybody's. You know. Just get the word out there.
But now, wouldn't you say...
Doubters, beware.
You, how long have you been kind of, you know, doing the showbiz thing? Like almost like 20 years or something close to, right? I mean, in the neighborhood
don't,
of that.
Don't put it that way. Really?
But he started when he was a kid.
Yeah, he started when he was a kid. When, you,
right,
you
when
were,
I was a child
you were
star.
A child star.
I did the Lassie series
right, yeah.
for a while. What are you talking
no,
about?
But, I mean, it's definitely been a, let's say, 15 years.
Yeah,
whatever,
I've been beating my head against that rock for
yeah,
at least a couple
decades. We're both coming
decades.
Up on
like,
20
like
years.
Probably 10 or 15 at least. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
what's your
it's
point?
It's closer to 20 than you think.
Yeah, it is. I know.
And but here's the
since
here's,
high, you know,
here's
since high school in
have
a way.
Have you ever
know?
Had more traction in your career?
No.
Have you ever
no.
been hotter?
No.
It's amazing. It is truly amazing.
I am the
mean,
tallest midget. to be well known in podcasting, no offense to my fellow podcasters.
I don't know if anybody.
But
got
it's still to... such an underground thing that he's saying this, but it does. It's you know, it doesn't
right.
really.
Right, but literally. Anybody who saw the NBC thing knows for sure they saw it. They saw it.
But
that
gotta,
I literally,
okay.
literally on my bed with
right,
a laptop
listen,
like that.
But now, can we stop talking about me?
We're talking about me now.
Right. We're going to talk about you and we're going to talk about NBC News in detail right now, okay?
Well, okay, just keep in mind I did tell that story on Wednesday here. So
yeah, but they didn't hear my version of the story.
Okay, that's true. That's true. And so, I didn't say a very important part to that story. But no, let me just finish something. Let me just finish one thing.
You gotta get off me, man.
I'm talking about me.
Okay.
I'm talking about how
right.
I literally am sitting on my bed with my laptop on my lap, recording into my computer. I mean, that's what it's this amazing
yeah,
thing
it's amazing.
Where it's like you're doing this thing. It's so casual, and in a way, it's so intimate. And I think that's one of the things that. Has really,
yeah,
I think
but,
it
yeah, but here's
me to
the deal though.
With the audience.
No, but this is what I love. Lance is sitting on his bed in some basement somewhere, some rock
their
star
house.
Basement.
Let's not put it down.
Yeah, their house.
The great Hiram and True of the human value
yeah.
are here. The
Absolutely.
Human value. The human value.
So he's
opening
recording.
Music to my show. They're sitting right there. Yeah, yeah.
So he's recording the show in his underwear or whatever in the basement on the bed. And the thing
naked.
Is, so it goes out into the world, and then the world hears it. And next thing you know, I'm seeing these blog entries. About Lance, comparing him to Spalding Gray, comparing him to, there was this weird Herald's blog entry.
Oh, yeah.
Somehow there was this blog entry that
oh,
started
Jesus.
With Orson Welles.
Yeah.
And went from Welles to, like, Joe Frank,
yeah.
blah, 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 to Lance. And that was when we knew, wait a minute, there's maybe something going on here where people are not differentiating between...
I mean,
Lance in
you know,
his
obviously hyperbole. I mean, you know, Orson Welles, me. I mean, come on, there's, you know, obviously I'm greater than he is. No.
Absolutely.
No.
And much thinner.
No, I mean, obviously the guy was over the top. You know, but
right.
any article where Orson Welles' name's in it and your name's in it is a good article. You know, any
yeah,
article.
Even if you're
even
a counterpoint to Welles, I think you're doing pretty
even
well.
Even if it's by somebody who, you know, is...
Yeah, thank God, like, even if it was like, thank God Orson Welles wasn't Lance Anderson... I think you're at least way ahead of the
hey,
game.
You know, when they're thinking Orson Welles and they're thinking you, absolutely.
How are they,
absolutely,
yeah.
absolutely.
Yeah.
So, briefly, just kind of, you've gotten the Christian Science Monitor.
I don't want to talk about that anymore.
Okay.
I just don't.
Okay, well, you want to talk about the NBC thing.
Yeah, I want to talk
okay.
about you.
I was here on Wednesday night, and I did kind of tell the story about the NBC.
Did
it
you?
It was a bit of
okay.
a fiasco.
Right.
And one of the things I just to bring people, because about half the
That's
people
what you
here,
say. Okay, go ahead.
Half the people here in the live audience here saw
right.
me tell that story.
Oh, you did? Okay.
So
okay.
I'm just going to kind of you summarize.
All right, and I will pepper it with
yeah, comments.
The West Side view.
Okay. I was very depressed because everyone, especially this guy, was getting a lot of press and I wasn't getting any. But sure enough, I got an email in my box that said they were looking for LA podcasters and found my name. And I was kind of starting a meetup group of LA podcaster meeting, getting together. And I followed up. I called the woman. I was right on top of it. She was excited. She didn't know about podcasting. I showed her about podcasting. I invited her over.
But who was this woman?
Oh, I didn't say?
No.
Okay. She was a producer at NBC. She said that she was going to be producing this spot for the 11 o'clock news. I was so excited. I really was so excited about this. I mean,
oh yeah.
You know, any Hiram or anybody knows. I was
very excited about it.
Right,
but
it's
NBC.
But also, she asked that this was an exclusive, so I really couldn't talk about it. Remember, she asked it for exclusive for me.
Right.
She didn't ask it from you.
No, she
didn't. In fact, it was one of the rare opportunities where I actually got him the gig.
Yeah,
because
you
she
did.
Didn't know about him.
And that was one thing I wanted to talk about.
Okay, talk about it. Talk about it.
No, just that's who this guy is, right? He's like, oh, and an exclusive, and NBC. You could call Dan. I mean, who would do that? But like a true friend. I mean, seriously, if you think about it, especially this town. This guy, if he says he has your back. And you know Lance Anderson, and you know that I'm telling you.
I'm not a true friend. I'm just riding your coattails.
Right? But you're riding my coattails from the front.
I don't know.
Right?
I don't know. No, but
that's not riding the coattails. When you're in front and I'm hanging on, like, please, give her my name.
No, but obviously you've had a lot of press. But
A little bit of press, yes. That's true. But
New York Times is not a little bit of press. New York Times is not a little bit of press.
Yeah, that's true. But listen.
Yeah.
What was I going to say?
I don't know.
So we emailed this woman back and forth, and she arranges. She's going to come and interview. Well, she pre-interviews Lance. At your place, right?
Right. I showed her how to podcast. I showed her the whole thing.
So he goes through the whole thing with her, and then she's going to come, and they're going to bring the big camera and the whole thing.
Right. Yeah, so she comes to your place
She comes to me first.
Well, remember, there was like a two-week delay from when I showed her about podcasting.
Yeah,
remember, because she was going out of town.
Right.
So there was a little bit of...
Okay, so she comes to my place. She has me describe podcasting in such detail that I swear she could qualify for a doctorate. Just hours and hours of every minutia.
Yeah,
of
she
the
really
software.
Wanted to see all the boring
like
stuff,
everything.
All the behind
yes.
the scenes stuff.
How do you do this and how do you do that and what software? I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Literally, she was at my place for 2 hours
with that kind of stuff. And now, tell about when she arrived. What was your first impression when she arrived in the van? I talked about the van.
Well, my first reaction whenever the news people show up is, thank God there's no logo on the van, because I don't want my neighbors
that's
to ask any questions.
Right,
I just don't want to get into that, why is the news here?
That's true.
Because for a while, I live in this really middle America neighborhood in Westchester, which is near LAX, and it looks like Mayberry, but...
It's actually a nice neighborhood.
Yeah, it's great, but one of the ladies that lived there died, and her son got the house, and he, I guess, was... What's the word I'm looking for? Trafficking narcotics?
Ah, yeah.
Yeah. So every once in a while, in my little sleepy neighborhood, there'd be a SWAT team and helicopters, and they'd cordon off the whole area and all that. So I don't want the news, you know...
Hey, by the way, move that chair up a little bit, because it's going to fall off the stage.
Oh, is that all?
Okay, yeah.
I'll do a little Kelsey grammar on you. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. The point is, so she interviews me for 2 hours about all this stuff, and I hate being interviewed because I'm just not good at it. And I'm a stay-at-home dad, so my daughter is there. And my wife had to take off work because my daughter's trying to tear the place apart, whatever. So finally she leaves, and they go over to KCRW, and then they go to Lance's house.
Yeah, well, they stopped at KCRW, then they come by my house. It was a hot summer day. You know what I mean? It was one of those hot...
Yeah,
They had been stuck from... They had to go from KCRW in Santa Monica to where I live in the Eagle Rock area, driving through rush hour traffic, because they literally got to my place about 4:30 or something like that. So they were stuck in that horrible traffic, and the van was old, kind of, so it probably didn't have air conditioning.
Probably.
They were hot and tired, and she was kind of grumpy by the time she got there.
And they didn't know each other at all.
Yeah, I know. That's why I was
the
like, is this a real thing? I mean, you know, that's why I was thinking.
Yeah,
like,
they had never worked together.
Yeah, it was a
so
little
I'm
weird.
Sure that was
they
a pretty
didn't
long
come in
drive.
These, yeah, yeah, it was a little weird. They were kind of disgruntled, I would say. And, you know, my place at the time, I was living in this kind of basement situation and stuff. And I felt like I was being judged a little bit. She was a little bit judgmental of the situation. And I really felt like what I needed to do in the moment was talk about the fact that they were there. You
right.
know what I mean? Like, for the podcast. I mean,
right,
if you listen
she
to
wanted
podcasts,
you to,
it's
to
very
record
much,
a podcast, right?
She wanted me to record a podcast.
Okay.
And podcasting to me is very much in the moment. It's very much about being real. It's very much about just what's happening right then, you have to acknowledge it at the very least. And she said, no, you can't talk about
it. Don't say my name, don't write nothing, right?
Nothing.
Yeah, I got
it. It so took me out of the moment. You know what I mean? I mean, you already have people in your place and they're setting up cameras. It's already, I'd always done it on my bed by myself, lit the candles, you know. Now they have the harsh lighting, the camera video lighting, and everything is different already.
There's a guy staring at you in Dockers with a three-chip pointed at you. It's not a natural.
No, not at all. And I have a tight little room that I was in, and she's sitting, I said this the other day, but she's sitting in the corner with a clipboard, like kind of shaking her head and stuff as I would say things. And it was really, really bad. Yeah. And I said this the other day during the show, literally when the whole thing wrapped up, and it was, oh man, it was that kind of performance where it's going so poorly, like you literally feel the sweat running down your back. The sweat running down your
That's
back performance,
good.
You know what I mean? Where you just feel it, you know? The whole thing winds up, and she, you know, literally they're putting the cameras away, the whole thing, and she just basically point blank asks, you know, don't take this the wrong way, but why would anybody listen to your podcast? I was like, what? You know, I knew, or at least I thought I knew, that I was definitely not going to be doing well at that point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? For the piece.
That's not a good quote.
It was not going to be...
You know.
Yeah, I mean, she's basically
why
saying...
Why would anyone in their right mind, who wasn't trying to get out of a traffic ticket of some kind...
Trying
to stop some sort of torture...
Right.
...listen to you?
Right.
It was that question.
Right. She was saying basically how she couldn't even get through one of them. I mean, just basically
putting...
Oh, yeah, completely. I was pretty upset. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I didn't think that was too cool. I mean, if they were doing like a critical piece on podcasting, that'd be one thing. But it was a puff piece.
It seemed like, yeah.
You know, I mean, it was just gonna be about podcasting, which it turned out to be. You know what I mean?
But you called me shortly thereafter.
Oh yeah, was I bad tripping?
No, I've never heard you like that.
Yeah,
like,
no, it was.
It is the worst experience of my life, and it's going to be on the 4 o'clock news or the Channel 4 news.
Yeah.
And I think that I have ruined everything.
And you were convinced that you were going to get cut out.
I was going to get cut
Either
out.
Either cut out or you were going to be like the jackass.
Yeah, yeah.
Of the piece. Like, KCRW is podcasting all their fine material, and then there's this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like that. Like, really, that was the vibe that he
But here's one thing I didn't
with.
Say, and I didn't say it Wednesday night, and I almost forgot to say it tonight. I had one great moment, though, during the whole thing, when they had the camera rolling. They didn't use it in the piece, but it was my moment.
It was the
interview part. The interview part was going fairly well.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
There was they actually shot me doing the podcast first, and then they did the interview part. And the interview part was much smoother. I was looser. I was like, okay, the podcast sucked. You know, what am I going to do? But this part is going to be a little cooler. So she was asking me these questions, and because she had an axe to grind against me, she didn't like my act. The questions had a
They had an edge.
So she said, so what has podcasting done for your career? And I just looked at her and I said, you're here. But I didn't miss a beat, man.
Perspective.
I was like, and I mean,
That's
it
awesome.
Even made her laugh. I mean, she even had to laugh at it, you know.
That's beautiful.
But anyways, the NBC thing worked out fine.
Yeah, but what happened was, so it didn't air, and it didn't air, and it didn't air.
It was like five weeks, six
Nothing.
Weeks.
Nothing, right. And he's
communication
calling me,
broke
and I'm
down.
Like, yeah,
I
have
got,
you heard
I
from
got
Lauren?
Paranoid. Paranoid.
Yeah, so he, because it's just this five, it felt like 5 week drum roll where Lance is convinced that he's going to be the laughingstock of Los Angeles. So finally, she emails us.
Right.
And says the thing's going to air and it's going to be on 6 o'clock and blah, blah, blah. So I'm sure you were on pins and needles as I was.
Oh, my God. Was
Chuck
I nervous?
Henry.
I was so nervous watching this thing. Literally, I've had a couple big shows. I remember you directed my HBO workspace thing.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You know, those were 10 shows. The guys were in the audience. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So those were 10 shows. It's where you just that fear. Where you just feel that fear. You overcome it, you know, but you feel it.
Yeah.
I've never had a situation where the gig is done. I mean, I've already done the gig. I'm just going to watch the recorded version of the gig. I was so nervous.
And I was nervous too because I didn't want to see myself, but also I was nervous like, what am I going to say to Lance? I've got to decide now how to approach Lance because after this, because he's going to be a wreck. Right. So the piece starts, and it's some guy. I don't even know who that guy was from KCRW.
Yeah, he does
a but very public
Urban
radio looking like bearded guy talking. I don't even know. And they interview some...
Makes us look like Brad Pitt kind
of
guy.
Yeah, like, yeah. And they interview one of the station managers from KCRW in a very bizarre, like, lovely woman, bizarre camera angle, that kind of, like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And then it's time for Lance. And literally, it was like, it went from this horrible little news piece, to, I don't know if it was like Apocalypse Now or something. They're panning and they're tilting and they're, like, doing tracking shots through the basement.
Yeah, they did my opening
bit. And it's literally like... The Lance Show, starring Lance Anderson, and here's the verge of the fringe. And it was just like the most glorious celebration of verge of the fringe. It was unbelievable. It was, right?
It was.
Because they're literally like, this is Lance Anderson, and they're like,
I was stunned.
So they talk about Lance, and I'm just so happy. I'm so relieved. I'm like, oh, that's so great. And he just looks... kind of hip and good looking, and he's telling his thing. And then they go, and then there's Dan Klass, another Los Angeles podcaster, and they show my daughter, who I think is just breathtaking.
She is.
And then I'm like, and she kisses me.
Yeah, it's cute.
And I'm like, oh, that's so cute. And like, and then they like, they cut to me, and I go, no, it doesn't take much equipment at all. So that's podcasting, in a nutshell. I was like, wow. But I was so happy.
Well, thank you.
And I was so, because they wanted to shoot my daughter, who's 2 years old, doing something cutesy. And as soon as you have an intention for something that you want a 2-year-old to do, that is the last thing the 2-year-old is going to do. So all they got was the kiss, which was a fluke, and us eating crackers in my garage.
And you were worried they were going to use the crackers.
I was really worried
that
it was
going to
be the cracker shot. It'd be like, eh. Because we're remodeling our kitchen, so all the meals are now in the garage on a little card table, like we're squatting and someone's, you know, it's just horrible. But dude, in all seriousness, that piece, I mean, literally, like...
No, I got lucky.
Coppola showed up for your segment. I got lucky.
Podcasting. Moving on.
You're the fan, and you're like, podcasting, I just don't know. You know, it was beautiful. All right, whatever.
Okay, moving on.
Talk about what you want.
One of the things that we realized that makes this a different experience than most podcasts, like we've been saying, in most podcasts, it's a guy sitting alone, or maybe it's a couple sitting alone, or together, but still alone. You know what I mean. There's not an audience.
Together, but still alone.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
There you go. There's, you know, so here we go. Here we are, a situation with an actual audience.
Yeah.
Let's hear you again.
Say hello to Liverpool.
Okay. All right.
Say hello to Liverpool.
I think we can bring a very unique angle into podcasting here.
You think so? We can
literally have the audience ask us some questions.
Really?
You know, just some topics.
Hopefully not related to podcasting.
Not about podcasting. Just about anything. Anything they think, you know.
And we can discuss it.
And we'll just,
ourselves.
Yeah, we'll just, and we'll, if we... We find something to riff on, we'll riff on. If not, we'll ask for another question.
That's great.
How are you on the recording?
Well, we've been blathering on for half an hour.
Okay, well, we'll do this about 15 minutes. This is the last part here. Okay, so, anybody have a question? Yes, sir.
Where do you expect this to go, and can you make any money out of it?
Well, sir.
He's already making money at it with a book. He wrote a book.
Yeah, that's true. See there?
He wrote a book.
How about you?
Well, I'm going to be touring the U.K.,
see there?
So, no, you know.
I mean, how serious an answer are you looking for?
I'm looking for a realistic answer.
A realistic
answer. He wrote a book that's going to be in the bookstores.
No, but a realistic answer is, as the audience for, particularly for independent podcasts grow, the likelihood of securing sponsorships grows. And hopefully, more and more of us will find friendly companies who will sponsor our shows. Already, Tower Records is sponsoring a show. Durex, makers of fine rubber products, are sponsoring a show. Who else? It's kind of slow going right now, but you have to also picture
podcasting really has only been going on since...
We're not even at the year mark.
Yeah, it's not even the year mark. It hasn't even been happening a year.
Right.
So the audience, it's still an abstract concept to most people. It's still not in the mainstream yet. So,
how do you know the count of your audience?
Well, because actually there's tracking on the web. You, there's various ways to track on the web through hits to your website, or I have this thing called Feedburner, which shows how many people have subscribed to my show, how many hits I'm getting. And literally, on my blog, I don't have any numbers anything close to him, but literally, like, I'm getting, like, 3,000 hits a day on my blog, just as is. I've been doing it, what, like, 4 or 5 months? You know what I mean?
That, yeah, thereabouts, sure.
Yeah, I mean, those are incredible numbers considering what kind of hits I was getting before that on just my personal website, you know?
Do you know duration of time you get a hit?
How long somebody's listening? Not necessarily on that, not necessarily.
Because what they have to download the file before they listen to it.
Yeah.
So if they, well, I guess not
necessarily.
They can
play it in their browser, but, you know, this is getting a little bit on the technical end.
Yeah, but that's okay.
Yeah, okay.
But basically, you really have an idea of how many people listen to the show by how many people download the show.
And Dan is in the thousands at this point. He's in the thousands.
Yeah, sure.
Of subscribers.
So are you.
Subscribers,
yes,
I'm not so
you
sure
are.
About. Okay, whatever.
Stop
whatever.
It.
All right, okay, whatever. Okay, another question from the audience, from the Peanut Gallery here. Yes, sir.
Did you consider Verge of the Pill?
Verge of the Pill. That is something to consider.
Yeah, Verge of the Pill.
Let's just take a quick vote.
What was the first one, though?
The Bitterest Fringe.
Yeah, okay.
The Bitterest Fringe, okay, Verge of the Pill.
Right.
Okay.
I like...
Okay, well, let's try it.
Good.
Okay, by a show of hands...
Oh, wait, Beverly?
How about Birds of the
Ill? Okay, let's try it. The Bitterest Fringe. Raise your hands if you think The Bitterest Fringe. I kind of like that one. All right.
Scott's okay. Raising his hand for The Bitterest Fringe.
Okay, Verge of the Pill. Let's voting for that. That seems to be...
Wow, really?
Well, it's about even, actually.
It is.
A lot of people didn't vote.
We'll have to flip-flop it.
Yeah. It's kind of like America. Only about half the people vote.
Right, exactly. Perfect. You know. We will, yeah. Good idea.
Literally, Iraqis...
Scott Mercer,
when they
Go
voted,
Pop Records, always with the big ideas.
But, you know, the Iraqis, when they had their vote, their election or whatever, like literally, yeah, they fight off car bombs and all sorts of crazy stuff. They're showing up.
Sure.
You
what
know,
do we do?
You know,
do
we
I really
want to
stand in that line?
Traffic.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know,
yeah.
So... Anyways, another question from the audience. Yes, Sophia.
I have a question about this podcasting. What's to keep somebody like Coca-Cola or IBM being a sponsor and imposing their restrictions on to something like this?
Well, it's just like any independently produced thing. You can choose to allow them to do the restrictions and accept their sponsorship or not.
Yeah.
You know, so you're deciding whether or not you're going to allow those restrictions. And both of us, actually, you do a show that is typically called work friendly.
Yes, work safe, kid
work safe,
safe
or
sure.
Whatever.
Yeah,
kid safe. So his show, in essence, could be played at work and it's not gonna be offensive, or you could play it with your kids in the car and such. And I generally stick pretty close to the FCC standards on language.
Right. But I think your question, though, is more to that kind of weird feeling where as soon as money changes hands, things change a little bit and you're co-opted. Right? And that's something that Lance and I have talked about, and I've talked about with other podcasters or even people in public radio. And it's just kind of one of those things that you have to decide where your boundaries are. Because, yeah, as soon as, like, for instance, Lance says that I do a kid safe show. So if Disney calls me and says they want to give me money, suddenly it can no longer make fun of the Disney Corporation and any of their subsidiaries and any of their da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I love making fun of the Disney company, so what do you do? And that's where...
I think that's part of life, though. I mean, we have to make compromises here and there.
That's part of show business,
certainly. Show business.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's this point, we're doing it independently. I mean, you're being broadcast, though, up in San Francisco, the great city of San Francisco, Beverly's hometown.
Yeah.
On KYOU.
Yep.
And so you have you know... be within the FCC boundaries.
Right.
Because Infinity owns that operation?
Yeah.
Okay, Infinity. And they have an arrangement. Imagine Infinity is going to broadcast your stuff. They're not going to pay you for it. They're going to broadcast it. And then if some reason you step over the line with the FCC and the FCC gets a hair up their butt, you're out hanging by yourself. Infinity will not back you at all. Their lawyers, all their stuff.
Oh, yeah,
you're out there by yourself.
Right.
So, you know,
It's tricky. But the way to sidestep it would be to get money somewhere else. to use some other model, whether it's kind of the, like the public radio model where you're going to your listeners for money.
Right. And people are doing subscriptions, actually. That is, that is a way.
Don't go to Disney. Go to someone cool. You know what I mean? Someone, I mean, I don't mean to imply that the Disney, you know. But like a podcaster that we know has Tower Records as a subscriber, as a, excuse me, as a sponsor, Coverville.
Oh, cool.
And they said, just do your thing. You know, talk about us. Don't, we're not going to give you an ad to run. Just do your thing. Talk about the store and then be done with it. So they're very hands off. And, you know, what can you, I mean, what can you say about Tower Records?
And, you know, I mean, they, really, you know, really.
They only had three copies of Nevermind the Bollocks. I hate the, you know, I mean, how bad can it be?
I think one of the things to keep in mind, I mean, people have been doing it a little bit longer than a year, right? I mean, a couple people or something, a couple of the real pioneers of this whole thing.
Yeah, probably right in a year right now.
But really, we aren't at that year mark. You know what I mean? I mean, the future is still being written. You know what I mean? That we're still trying to figure it out. The audience is still trying to figure it out. It's still in that phase where it's being molded. It's still we're blazing trails. You know what I mean? We don't know what that future is. We don't know what that change is. I mean, a year ago, people didn't know what podcasting was. They didn't conceptualize it. So we don't know in a year where things are going to be, you know?
No.
But another, I think we're ready for another question from the audience. Beverly, did you have a question? I see Robin, too. But did you have a question, Beverly?
It's a little dopey.
Okay, dopey question from Beverly.
Thank goodness.
Because I consider you so innovative.
Uh-huh.
What are on your playlists?
What do you mean?
Music-wise.
Yeah.
Musically?
Yeah, yeah. Well, Dan does a show called Old Wave Radio.
Yeah.
And he plays stuff that sounds like it was made in the 80s, but it was made today.
Right.
You know.
So that's my playlist, is all this fake 80s stuff, which I love. I mean, I can't get enough. But you can't podcast music that is distributed by members of the Recording Industry Association of America. Is that what RIAA stands for? So it's all really indie, completely indie.
Yeah, the only stuff we can really play is stuff that is independent at this point.
Yeah, the artist has to give you permission, and whoever owns the recordings has to give you permission, whether that's the artist or a small label or whatever.
Well, I'll tell you something.
I really like the Epoxies, to answer your question.
Well, you have that one guy that is really cool. I played his stuff.
West Hollywood. Yeah.
There's a guy named West Hollywood.
If you're into 80s music, I can give you a whole list of these completely unknown 80s
sounding bands. But I think we would be remiss to not mention the Human Value here.
The Human Value, of course.
Who do the,
I listen to their album.
They're here in the audience.
All the time.
No, please.
Why don't you come up and do a couple numbers? You know, Scott, I can't... Okay. Backstory is, there's this band, Kinky L'Amour and the Sexperts. There's this British kind of punk pop band that I played one of their singles on both of my shows. I think I actually played it on the music show and on the talk show. And I even offered to give away their 45s, and no one wanted a free 45. And this was after even like guys in real punk bands would say to me, people are nuts for vinyl. Oh, yeah. Kids in Germany will pay like $50 for a 45. I couldn't give it away. And it's me singing. So it's like this sort of like, it's like this, my like Spinal Tap, and no one cared.
I thought it was really cool.
No one cared.
I thought it was
all
really cool. But anyways.
Really?
Robin
you're
had a question.
A good,
Robin had a question.
Friend.
Yeah. So how many people are doing what you're doing? Any idea what the number is?
I think
about 10,000 podcasts.
Yeah, between
now?
7 and 10, I'd say.
Okay, about 10,000 podcasts.
And I don't think that's counting what you might call
the corporate
podcasts.
Yeah, yeah.
There are a lot of companies now that have realized, hey, really? People download half-hour infotainment shows or whatever? So I say about 7 to 10 independents.
Oh, no, total, yeah, total.
Yeah.
So the number, it's new. It's definitely just at the very beginning.
We're
3/5 of Human Value is here. That's very nice to see. Any other questions?
Really?
Yes?
Okay. Two questions.
Two questions. First question, first
you
place.
Do?
Yeah, Lance.
Wait a minute. So you're sitting there this whole
listens,
time and you're like, shut
she's
up.
She's a
about
very
podcasting.
Loyal fan of the Story Salon.
Oh, okay.
Don't pick on her.
I didn't know anything about them, but I was like, oh, this is really cool.
They're awesome.
Ben Henderson.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So, first question is, how do you guys keep, like, finding something to, like,
Right.
Like, maybe you didn't have enough to cast or figure out, like, what you're going to say, what you're not going to say.
It's definitely a fear, I think, a fear of, like, when am I going to hit the wall and I'm going to run out of material? And I think one of the things that Story Salon, where we were basically, when this show is being presented by Story Salon, founded by the great Beverly Mickens.
Beverly.
One of the rules of Story Salon is that you have to come in here every week and tell a new story. And it pushes a storyteller to create new material, to dig deeper. I mean, obviously, they're the stories that are kind of your hits, the ones that you know that work and you've thought about and you've told before and all that kind of stuff. But then I've been thinking about, you know, okay, when I have to dig deeper into this thing, when I have to really start digging, where am I going to go? And I've been thinking about that lately. And actually, you know what? Yeah. I've been coming up with some cool stuff.
Yeah?
You know, because I think when you just have to, like, you know, okay, I got my hits, and I'll play my hits, and I'll do my hits, or whatever. Well, you know, I got
I got that one,
No, I Didn't Even Kiss Her, about the porn star, and all that stuff. Sure. You know those kind of work, and you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But then you think, okay, well, wait, let me go back in time to this one place that I've never really explored. So I think, in a way, this podcasting, along with the skills I've learned from Story Salon of having to come in with a new story, and I haven't been coming to Story Salon recently, but there was a time there for about 2 years or so where I was doing pretty much a story a week. You can do it. I think you can dig into the well and you can do it. And there's the stuff that happens yesterday. You know what I mean? Stuff that's gonna happen. You know what I mean? You're always working both in the past, but also looking towards the future. And so I do think about it, and I do get scared about, like, okay, if I do all the good ones, I'm going to be stuck, and then all the rest of stuff is going to be flotsam and jetsam. But maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's what the show turns into, where it becomes a lot more abstract. Maybe some of the pieces become a lot more abstract. I'm speaking for myself at this time, but...
Well, I don't disagree, I guess.
I mean, yeah. I think this stuff, you can get it. There was a second part to your question.
The second part is, I know that there's the Podcasters Expo, so...
Yes. Yeah. Take that.
Take it.
Take it, baby.
Take it, Tommy.
That show my age, baby.
Smothers Brothers reference. God almighty. What do I hope to learn or gain from the expo? Well, I hope to sell some books.
Yeah.
That's the main, you know, right there. You know what it is? We've made a lot of little podcast buddies, fellow podcasters. You know, with Story Salon or anything like that. You know, you like their show, and they like your show, and you just sort of...
You're friends with the people who like your act, kind of.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
I mean?
Like that. So there are these people from all over that I'd love to meet. I think that's kind of the main thing, is putting a little bit more of a human face to the community aspect of it, because there's still a very strong independent podcaster community, and I think that's the main thing, is I'm just interested to meet, you know... Such and such from Scotland, and so and so from Maine, and you know.
Yeah, Mark from the Tartan Podcast is gonna be out here.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Exactly.
No, it's exciting. We, you know, here's a guy in where's he? He's in Glasgow.
I think he's near Glasgow, but he's
Scotland.
In a tiny little village in Scotland.
Here's a guy who contacted us when we were
ages
both had a little more steam going than he did. You know what I mean? He was just starting out. You know what I mean? And now he's built this. His empire. I mean, he's really cooking. He's got Absolute as a sponsor. Absolute.
Yeah, he does.
He's in with the Pod Show, which is the whole
big. Yeah, yeah. Well, Adam Curry and his partner started this company, Pod Show. They just got $9 million worth of investment capital.
Yeah.
So that's...
Yeah. And
that's part of the future.
Part
of
their
it
thing
is
being...
Somebody sees... The guy's smarter than... Me anyway, see that there is a future, a monetary future to podcasting.
So here's this guy, Mark, who just months ago was writing me an email. Hey, man, I really dig your show. I just started doing this little podcast or whatever. And now he's like blown up and he's way past me in the podcasting thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and it's that kind of crazy thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all happening so fast.
But so are you a storyteller?
Yes, she is. Yes, she is. And a good one at that.
See? Stand up and be proud.
I'm saying, I'll tell you this. If you're a storyteller or a spoken word performer, you should have a podcast.
Yes, you should. And that's exactly where I was going.
Tony Figueroa, child of television, has a podcast. He's here.
Yeah.
You know?
No, yeah. There's no, I mean, not to be, you know, like the ultimate podcast evangelist or whatever, but yeah. Because there's no reason not to.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You had mentioned I'm not computer savvy at all or even these podcasts.
Sure, sure.
You said you have to download, somebody taps into your program.
Yeah. Right.
They download the program.
Right.
Is there any ability to be able to have interactive podcasting where people will be calling in while you're performing?
There is some of that, yeah.
Yeah, there is actually. Yeah, there's a very popular piece of software called Skype, which enables you to make what is essentially long-distance phone calls on your computer.
Yeah.
And a lot of podcasters use it to record it. And so what they'll do is say, okay, I record on Mondays at 9 p.m. Pacific time. So if you want to be on the show, look for me on Skype. And it's one of those things where it lists all the people that you know that are currently logged into Skype. And so, like, there's this guy, Mr. X. You know Mr. X?
Yeah, yeah.
Who always uses Skype whenever he records. And he says, look, if I'm on, I'm recording. And if I'm recording, call me. And so, yeah, it sounds like a regular radio show because he has people. And you hear the phone. There's the phone sound effect.
Right, right, right.
But, yeah, it's completely interactive.
The reason I'm asking, Lance, you mentioned earlier about, you know, hitting the wall ideas.
Right, sure, sure.
I could see this be a continuing
story. Sure. Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I haven't done that so much with my show. Although, you know, people contact me through emails or the blogs or whatever.
Yeah, that's what I was just
gonna
say.
They make their way into the show. Like we just mentioned that guy Willie at the top of the show. We don't know this guy. He's just some kid in Australia.
Yeah, but he emailed.
But he emailed us or put a note on the blog.
You can do
text
chatting too.
And so, I think more, it will become more and more interactive with the audience, and in a way. I'm sure stuff like this has happened where people have done a podcast in front of a live audience, but not that much has happened like this.
Right.
So we are, you know, this is a little bit of a cutting edge thing, by the way, tonight. So
it's the Dan and Lance podcast.
No, the Verge of the Pill. Verge of the Pill.
Darn it.
I personally think
so
the bitter is fringe, but you know.
The bitter is fringe, that's
right. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
But as far as the interactivity goes, yeah. Most podcasts have a blog associated with them, and on the blog will be the email address of that podcaster. So there's a lot of back and forth with email and blog postings
people,
and that. So people,
comments and stuff,
you know, asking you, stories
totally.
About your or questions about your stories
totally,
or suggesting
totally,
topics
totally.
That like.
Well, here
whatever.
Again, I mean, you know, I start doing the show and just start putting it out there. And a guy contacts me from Liverpool and says, hey, I do graphics. Would you like me to do some stuff for you? I mean, it has that kind of interactivity already built into it. And I think that is part of the beauty of the thing, too.
There's an audience for your stories.
Yeah.
There is an audience.
There's
much
an audience.
Bigger than you could ever
imagine.
And
very soon we will be starting the Story Salon podcast.
Yeah.
I'd say probably within a month. Within a month.
You've
we'll
got
be starting.
To.
Oh,
You've
absolutely.
Absolutely. Got
absolutely.
To.
Absolutely. Any one last question? Does anybody have a good, strong, last,
good,
final
strong.
Question here?
Something that...
Yes, this gentleman from the Human Value. Hire him from the Human Value, ladies and gentlemen.
Speaking of people who should have a podcast, yes. Maybe you guys don't want me talking about this, but I heard you guys have been working maybe with Fred Garvin on a podcast, and I was wondering if we could maybe look forward to something.
Fred Garvin. Do you know Fred Garvin? There actually is a podcast with a guy named Fred Garvin, though.
Is there really?
That's what's going to really confuse things. Does anybody remember Fred Garvin?
Fred
Garvin, male prostitute. Dan Aykroyd used to play this.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Dan Aykroyd used to... You don't remember this?
I do. It took me a while.
Huh?
Yeah, you like that?
Dan Aykroyd used to play this... On Saturday Night Live, used to play a male prostitute. But what was so funny about it is he had, like, a hernia belt. Like, he'd show up and he'd... I'm Fred Garvin, male prostitute. And then he'd take off this hernia belt. Oh, it's very funny. But it's
nice.
But it's for the older folks, you know, because older. Me too. You know what I mean? You know, I'm not. You know.
I know.
I'd say this wasn't a bad experience.
Yeah, but did you think we were going to talk about podcasting the whole time? It was an experiment.
Dude, we were all over the map when we were talking about what we were going to do with this thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
we couldn't decide.
No,
we couldn't decide what
Absolutely
we were going to do.
Absolutely not.
And literally, we were deciding what we were going to do. We were talking about it tonight about 6
o'clock. As we were setting up the microphones?
As we were setting up the microphones. Yeah. So, you know, it was an experiment. As you said at one point, this is kind of an elaborate sound check. In a way, we're doing getting through a lot of technical stuff and whatever. Yeah. But you know what? Next time, very little we'll talk about.
No
very little podcast.
Podcast
stuff. And we'll just tell stories and riff on politics and stuff.
Are you asking me to do another one?
I am. I am. We'll come up. We will. We will do this again. Really appreciate all of you.
Yeah, thank
who came
you
out
very
tonight.
Much. Thank you. Putting up with all our blah.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, come to the Story Salon Wednesday nights. Beverly in the back. She has a mailing list if you
podcast.
Want any information about Story Salon. And I'd say that's all, folks.
That's it. Thank you
very
much.
Okay, thank you very much.
I didn't hit record.
Thank you very much. I hope you passed the audition.